His unconditional, undeserved, disdeserved love. If you feel like you don't deserve God's love this morning, then you're perfectly qualified to receive it. And he says over and over in Isaiah, and I'll read it in a moment, I take you by your hand. I will take you by your hand like a good dad. I'll take you by your right hand and I will bless you. I'll come for you. I'll protect you. Why don't you, if you want to, just reach out your hand to the Lord now. Reach out your hand for him. For him to take hold of your life and your heart now. Father in heaven, we reach out for your love this morning. We reach out for your touch. We reach out for your grace. We reach out for your power. Come and minister to us, Holy Spirit. Help us worship the Father, love him, and receive his love today, and be changed and strengthened and encouraged and comforted by his amazing Father love. Father, we thank you that you gave your absolute best for us when you gave us Jesus. We thank you for adopting us all into your family and sending your own real son so that we could be adopted. We receive that love again this morning. Thank you that you've not rejected us, you've chosen us, every one of us. We receive that love. Lord, Holy Spirit, help us. Pour that love into our hearts as we reach out for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. What an awesome Father we have in heaven. It's weird being a dad, isn't it? You know, it's what a mixture. Father's Day, it's filled with sorrow and joy and failure and success. And it's what a privilege to be a dad. But isn't it hard? Isn't it hard work? And Paul's right. Don't you just feel a failure all the time in so many ways? You always wish you could be a better dad and wish you'd done more and all the rest. And some of us, just Father's Day itself is incredibly painful. It's not a great blessing to a lot of people. A lot of people think about the dads who've died, the dads who weren't good to them, weren't there for them. A lot of dads might be sat here, your marriage might have broken up, and you might be distant from your children. Father's Day is a real mixture. There's a lot of pain involved. But there's one Father that we can all receive from, whether we have dads or not dads, whatever we think about our dads. He is, our God is our Father. He's our Father. He's not just our King. He's not just our Judge. He's our Dad in heaven who loves us. And as we receive his love for us, that heals all the other father wounds and failings in our lives. It's vitally important. That's what he wants to do for you this morning. We have a Father who loves us amazingly. Jesus described him like this. He said in Luke 15, he said, when the son turned back to him, he says his father saw him when he was still a long way off. And he ran to his son. And he threw his arms around him and repeatedly kissed him. That's what the actual Father is like. You might be a long way off this morning, or feel you're a long way off, but as you just turn your heart towards him, he sees you from that distance and he runs to you, throws his arms around you. I mean, this isn't just taking your hand, this is affection, full on affection from God. Throws his arms around you and repeatedly kisses you. He's going to sort you out and help you. He's going to cover you and ring on your finger, shoes on your feet, give you a new job and everything. But firstly, you need to receive this love, this personal affection from God. He really, really loves us. He's one of my favourite passages from the Bible. Words of comfort from Isaiah. Isaiah was fantastic for catching God's heart and sharing it. It says in chapter 40, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, that my life is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Don't you know? Haven't you heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He doesn't grow tired or weary of you. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even young people grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and they will not faint. But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Later on he says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. It's beautiful, God. Doesn't want us to be afraid. Doesn't want us to give up. Doesn't want us to think of him as distant, because he isn't. He loves us. And he wants us to receive that love this morning. He says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'll take hold of you, and that hand will hold you up. It will strengthen you. It will help you. That's what the hand of God does, what the touch of God, the affection, the love of God does for you. It massively strengthens you. Do you need to be strengthened this morning in some area? Do you feel weak? Do you feel weary physically or spiritually or mentally or relationally? Life gets you down. You know, you get weary. Young men get weary, it says. It's nothing to do with age. Nothing to do with how hard you're working. This is a heart weariness. Sin makes you weary. The world makes you weary. You get weakened by it, And I'm just shattered. I'm just tired. I'm just weary. The answer for that is grace. The answer for that is God. Not a holiday. Not, I've got to prioritise my time right. No, you need God. You need God. You need his touch. His touch. The Father's affection and touch. You know, on Route 61, we often say, if there's anyone here who's never had a hug from their earthly dad, would you stand up, because we're going to come and give you a hug now in the name of the Lord, like from God the Father. And it's a powerful moment, because many, many people haven't been hugged by their earthly dads. They haven't felt that affection and warmth. And you know what? Even if you have, it's not enough. Because it's God's love that you actually need in your heart to meet your needs. That's the strength that comes from touch. His touch. His touch. You know when God's touched you. He's a touchy-feely God. Jesus said he threw his arms around him. That's not a standoff dad. That's not a British dad. That's not, good to see you. Welcome home. Not at all. This dad's a warm, huggy dad. This is Jesus speaking about his own father. Threw his arms around him. Kissed him. Ran to him. That's what God's like. Do you want to receive that love this morning? Do you need to receive the strength of that love this morning? That touch from God. It's so exciting when God takes hold of your hand. I wonder what it was like if Jesus took hold of your hand. Can you imagine what that would feel like? It was exciting for me the first time I held Margaret's hand. Can you remember the first time you held hands with the person you were in love with? Or the person you were falling in love with or wanted to fall in love with? It's like, it's just the hand, but it's so exciting.
It's like, they're holding my hand. It's like, yes, yes, you can touch me. I accept you. You can come in. I remember where we were. I'd been talking to Margaret for a couple of days. And we went for a walk round Albert Park. I know how to show a girl a good time. And it was freezing, because it's England. And I said, are your hands cold? This was my little move. Are your hands cold? Would you like to put your hand in my pocket? And I thought... And she took a cigar out of her mouth. No, she didn't. No, stop it. And she said, yeah. And I got hold of her hand. That gave me the confidence to get hold of my hand. I didn't know, you know. Got hold of my hand. I just met her at the bus stop. No. And I put her hand in my hand and I was like, yeah. I was like buzzing. It wasn't just a hand in a pocket. It wasn't about warmth. It was about, will you hold my hand? It's just so exciting. It's phenomenal. That hand, God says to you, I will take hold of your hand. Not to drag you along. Not to keep you right. No, there's massive love and affection poured into that hand. When I'm leaving home for another trip, you know, you don't want to mention to the kids you're going away again. So you try not to talk about it. But I'm always aware when I touch them, it's different. When you're leaving again, you know, and I'm taking Benji to school or something, and I'm holding his hand in the car and I'm driving along. And you really don't want to be leaving, but you have to, and it's right to. And just in that hat, there's love pouring down that arm, isn't there? Isn't there? You're pouring love. You don't want to mention anything. But you're pouring love in, you're pouring love in. You know, when God touches you, I mean, it's his love for you. You just can't comprehend it. It's a total mystery. Why he loves us anyway is a mystery. But the fact of it is a fact. And the need of it is absolute. To receive his touch this morning through the Holy Spirit is a powerful, powerful thing. It can awaken you, it can heal you, it can set you free. It's the Father's own love for you when he takes you by the hand. It's a powerful thing. And you know, when nurses often take people by the hand, don't they? You know, if you're really poorly, a nurse, that's good nursing actually. It's compassion, isn't it? You know, when I was really poorly in India, Africa somewhere, and I was in hospital, and this nurse, while they were doing some other stuff to me, she took my hand, just held my hand. I thought, it was nice. It was compassion. It was helpful to be touched affectionately. Love poured in. Or to comfort you. God can do that for you this morning. If you really... ill, if you're down, if you're weak, if you're broken-hearted, the Lord wants to take you through. If you're going through something and there's actually no way around it, then God will go through it with you. And he holds your hand through it. Holds your hand through it. Some of us get divorced. We can't help it, actually. Sometimes it's not going to work. It's a terrible thing, sad, absolutely. Sometimes it's not your fault, sometimes it's 50-50, sometimes it's too much of a mess to gauge. You have to go through it. There's no way around some things in life. Some of us, our kids die or leave home and never hear from them again. It's a terrible thing. I'd like to avoid it. Can't avoid it. You have to go through it. Who's going to go through it with you? The Lord will go through it with you. When you walk through the fire, and through the water, where's the comfort in that? I'll be with you. Oh, not so bad then. I'll be with you. He takes you out. It's massive. Massive compassion. You know, and some of us aren't used to sort of affection. We've grown up as little survival techniques. You know, I'll look after myself. I'll make my own way. Some of us haven't had dads at all. So have been brought up by mums. This is thousands of young men in this country now, brought up by the mums who are total heroes and never leave. The dads, you know, broken out of themselves and don't know how to father because they've probably never had fathers, and they end up leaving and going off. So there's, if you're in that situation, you're brought up without a dad, often you just don't know how to receive affection. You're getting your images off the movies, off the Hollywood. That's what a man is. That's how to be a man. So I'll get my first tattoo when I'm 8. And I've got to be hard and I've got to survive. And actually, without God, that would be true, actually. But that's without God. With God, you can let those barriers go down. And you start to receive something else. You can start to just be free, to be loved, to be loved. Affection is for some of us. That's something we have to learn. We have to learn to get touchy-feely. We have to learn to receive love. We have to learn to get soft of being rock hard to survive. But good news, you've come home now. You don't have to survive. You can start to live. So you can let that go down. Let the Lord love you and love you and love you. Even if it's uncomfortable. He takes hold of your hand and he keeps hold of it. Not used to receiving like that all the time. We think, oh, you know, when I was in India, you know, some of the guys from India, some of the Indians, and I don't know what it's like in Pakistan, Uma, but in India, it's just totally normal for guys to hold hands. You know, brothers, friends, guys in the church, they'll hold hands walking along. I mean, for an English bloke, that's like, ah! It's scary. And the first time I went to India, and I want to go shopping for Margaret, get some things. I said, yeah, come on. And I was walking along the road with this brother from the church, and he took hold of my hand. And I'm pretty chilled me, actually. I'm in touch with my feminine side. So I sort of thought, I was all right for a minute. Because I thought he was going to lead me across the road, right? Because Indian roads are a bit mad sometimes. And we were in the downtown Hyderabad, and the road was... And he did lead me across the road. I thought, oh, this is cool. Okay, he's leading me across the road. It's India, that's fine. Then when we got across the other side, he didn't let go, right? And he starts walking on the road. So, tell me about your family. I'm like, but I've got a wife. I've got a wife. A big girl. No. And I was sweating. I mean, it's just cultural. They're just totally all right to hold hands. In the Philippines, the guys are exactly the same. The Philippines, when we were in the southern island of the Philippines, Mindanao, tremendous amount of trouble, just war going on all the time. We were getting escorted round by soldiers. We had soldier bodyguards with us. They were just so touchy-feely. Well, these were hard men. They had bullet wounds. They were soldiers. And they'd be just massaging your hand. So, was it good today? Yeah. Pretty good. We're British. We're not used to touchy-feely things. Well, some of us are British, bless you. We're not used to touchy-feely things sometimes. And it's true. It's true spiritually and emotionally as well. We're not used to... We can't believe that God's like that. That's the truth. We still have an image of him that he's distant. And we can't believe that God is affectionate to the point of touching, speaking, using us, providing for us personally. That's how the Father shows his love. I was reading one of our kids' books one day. It was a kid's book just asking them a question. How do you know that God loves you? When do you feel God loves you? That really challenged me. I thought, when do I feel that God really loves me? And I came up with four things in my head. I thought, I really know he loves me when he speaks to me. And it's to me, and I know it's to me. That's the importance of prophecy. It's very important. And in a minute, I'm going to invite you to come forward. We'd like to pray for you to receive a touch from God. And we'd like to prophesy over you as well. We'd like to hear the Father for you and share it with you. Because it's so encouraging. When you know it's God, it's so encouraging. When I turned 40, when I'm going to turn 40, I woke up on the morning and I was full of joy, actually. I thought, thank you, God, you know that I've been able to be with you since I was a young lad. And give me another 40 years, Lord, and help me do something worthwhile with my life. But I went to church that morning, and there was a call for ministry. I came forward, got prayer, and some of you know this story. Sorry, I've told it over and over again, but it was such a blessing to me.
the guy prophesied over me and said, "Oh, Martin, I just see you like Noah building the ark. And the Lord says, just keep going. One day you'll see what it was all about. Just keep going. Build the ark, build the ark. I'm with you." And that was like a blessing. God spoke to me. I thought, oh, that's nice. Thank you, Lord. Then on the night, we had a band of brothers meeting at Stuart's house. And the guys prophesied over me. They weren't from our church. They didn't know what had been said. But the first prophecy was word for word exactly the same. "Martin, I just see Noah building the ark. And the Lord says to you," you know what? It was that second time really got me. I was so touched that on my 40th birthday, God would send me from heaven a lovergram right to my heart to say, "Martin, I'm speaking into your life." Isn't it awesome when God speaks to you? You know, when your dad shows you attention for a minute. Dads aren't particularly good at attention, you know. Sometimes the kids get hold of my face and move it towards them. But he has his eyes on you this morning. He sees you from a distance. This God never takes his eyes off you. He's watching you. He loves you. His attention's towards you. He speaks to you. The second thing was when God touches me, when I'm touched by the Holy Spirit, when I'm all just undone and an emotional wreck in God's love. I'm just blessed and I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. He touches my heart and it melts. That's when I feel God's love. It doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, oh, it's worth its weight in gold. So refreshing. The Holy Spirit, so refreshing. The third time is when he uses me. When the Father uses me to do something, could be big or small, it doesn't matter. If I know it's God opened a door for me and set me up, it gives me massive significance. I matter. I have a role. I'm part of his team. I'm part of his family. God has used me to heal this person, to speak this message, to serve in this way. God wants me. God, that gives me massive significance. I know his love. And the fourth way is when God provides for me. When it's really personal and I really need it and God gives it, it's more than money. It's more than that. It's got love attached to it. And it's the love that's really the treasure. It's the love. You know, when our Ruth was getting married and, you know, God had provided for us wonderfully, but, you know, we were absolutely skint to our last penny. And the wedding was the next day and there was just something very little, actually, that she needed for a headdress. And it was 20 quid, but you know what? If you haven't got it, you haven't got it. And Margaret prayed and sat in the front room on her own, no one else there, and just said, "Oh, Lord, you know, if I just get that, could I just have that 20 quid for Ruth's headdress, and I'll just go and get those last little bits of things to go on it." And then our Joe comes in the front room. He says, "Oh, Mum, this woman came to the door on a bike. She said she's got 20 quid for you. Here it is, 20 quid. See, it's because it's personal, isn't it? It's from God. The woman was Kath Muxlow, some of you. Not Muxlow. Kath. Good Kath. Yeah, we know her well. And she, we don't know that well, actually. We hadn't seen her for years. And her story was this. That morning, she was working, doing a usual cleaning job in the house of an old lady. The old lady said, "I'm going to give you an extra 20 quid today." She said, "No, love, you give me enough. Thank you, I don't need it. No, I'm going to give you another 20 quid today." "No, no, you're all right, I'm going to..." And this little old lady got knacked and said, "I'm going to give you an extra 20 quid today." She said, "All right, thank you." She gave her an extra 20 quid. Kath pedalled a normal way home, but she said, "For some reason, I thought I'd pedal down your street. I don't normally go that way, but I did anyway. As I was going past your house, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, that 20 quid is for Margaret." Stopped a bike, came to the door. She hadn't been to our house for years, at least 10. She knocked on the door. Our Joe came to the door, gave her 20 quid for Margaret. Is that beautiful? What's beautiful is the heart of God for Margaret, for Ruth, for us. It's the love. 20 quid's 20 quid, but it's worth a fortune to me, that. Because the encouragement and the strength that comes from knowing you're on God's screen, whether you've sinned or not, whether you're up or down, whether you're failing or succeeding, he loves me. He
It matters, doesn't it? To receive that love is just absolutely, massively, massively important. Maybe today you're just lonely as well. You know, you can be in a church and be incredibly lonely. You can be surrounded by people and weep for loneliness. You can be married, you can have kids and be lonely. Only God, your heavenly daddy, can meet that sorrow inside and that need. Only he can do it. Only he can do it. You can be incredibly surrounded by people and lonely and just not touched where you need to be touched. You can long for affection, love like that. Actually, only God can give you it. And he's very willing to give it. Wants to pour it into your heart. That leper who came to Jesus, he had leprosy, but he had loneliness. No one touched lepers. And he had to shout, unclean, unclean. Everyone backed off. Maybe you feel like that. Everyone backs off from me. Something wrong with me. I don't fit. Maybe this isn't your nation. Maybe you don't fit. Living in a different culture is rock hard. Or maybe you don't fit for other reasons. Everyone else seems to have it all together. But I don't fit. Well, do you know that's a loneliness that God wants to touch this morning and tell you that you do fit. You fit right here with me. You know, that leper came to Jesus. And Jesus didn't just speak a word to him. He often spoke a word when he healed people, Jesus. But not that leper. That leper needed a touch. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. And he was clean. That's what happens when Jesus touches you. The interesting thing is, you know, according to the law, the leper should have made Jesus unclean. The leper was unclean. And if you touched a leper, you were unclean and couldn't go into the temple. But grace doesn't work like the law. Grace works the opposite way. If you're unclean this morning, if you've sinned and you feel all unclean, that doesn't keep you away from God. You need to come to God. And Jesus will touch you, and his touch makes you clean. It's not the opposite. I've sinned. I've got to stay away. No, I've sinned. I've got to dive in. I've got to get nearer. I need a touch from God. I need a touch from Jesus. Jesus is going to make me clean. The Father's love for you, you know, he wants to put his hand on you, show you that he approves of you, that he loves you. You know, when we were first moved in our road, there was quite a few families. We've been there for years now, nearly 20 years, I think. There's quite a few families. As the years roll on, more and more of those families break up. Obviously, it's life. The dads leave, the dads leave, the dads leave. Sometimes new dads come, sometimes they don't. And our kids used to play with these kids down the road whose dad did leave, you know. And I'd be outside our front watching our littler kids. And these kids had come up our drive. And I sorted out a little problem on one of our kids' bikes once. I'm not mechanical. Got about two tools in my life. One's a frying pan and the other's a... But I managed to sort out this little problem on one of our kids' bikes. Next minute I know, this other kid, Martin, will you sort my bike out? I'll try, Oliver. And trying to sort out his bike. Flip my neck. I don't know what I'm doing. And that's great. It's miles better, is it? Okay, well done, Oliver. Give him a little rub on his head. Off he goes. And then 5 minutes later, he's back again. Martin, I've got another problem with my bike. I've got it. Then his sister comes. Martin, I've got a problem with my bike. I was thinking, eh? What's going on? Our kids were like, not bothered. They just kept going back and back and back and back. Actually, do you know what? It was nothing to do with bikes, was it? No. What they loved was that hand on the head. You all right, Oliver? What they were longing for was a bit of dad. A bit of dad. Come and touch the heart. Just put your hand. On my head. I what they're asking for. Do you know what? You live your whole life waiting for that hand. That hand is here today for you. That hand is this hand. I will take hold of your hand. I'll put my hand on you, says God. This is amazing. Amazing love. He says, I'll help you as well. Not just strengthen you, I'll help you. In that hand, there's loads of help. That's why we pray. That's why we do prayer vigils and why we believe in prayer meetings and why we pray in our own lives. We pray because it works. We pray because help is available. If it wasn't, we wouldn't bother praying. We don't just have faith. Faith is not enough. Faith without prayer is presumption. Oh, God will be with us. You don't see that in the early church. No, they know God's with them. But they pray, Lord, bless us. Lord, help us. Lord, pour out your spirit. Lord, pour out your spirit again. Lord, deliver us. Lord, get them out of prison. Lord. They were praying people. Brothers and sisters, we need to be praying people. We pray when we don't feel like praying. We pray when it's hard work. We pray when we feel dry. We pray because prayer works. We pray ourselves into prayer. That's what the Puritan fathers used to speak about. Pray yourself into prayer. You don't feel like praying often, but when you start to pray and get in the presence of God, then you find you can pray. And God answers those prayers. Not always immediately. It's not about that. It's about being in that relationship with God where you're getting the help. All that help is in that hand. Take my help. Reach out for my help, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I ask you for your help. Lord, asking you for your blessing, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Move in power. Lord, bless Route 61 this week. Lord, help the worship team. Lord, pour out your spirit in Estonia. Lord, help me witness. Help me be a better. Lord, help. You're asking for, if you pray, God answers, you know. If you pray, if you ask, you'll receive. It's just as simple as that. Not always in the way you think, not always in the time you'd like, but always. I was reading just the other day about the disciples and how they got to that guy with the demon and they just couldn't cast it out. They were doing marvellous till they got to this lad who was deaf and dumb. They threw him in the fire, this demon, and they got nowhere. And Jesus came down from the mountain and said, oh, you're full of unbelief. And rebuked them and then cast the demon out. And then they came to him afterwards and said, Lord, why couldn't we cast him out? And he said, oh, this type only come out through prayer. It's interesting, actually, because Jesus didn't pray. He just cast it out. But the point is this, Jesus' life was full of prayer. He was always praying, so his reservoir was full. And when you have a look in Mark's Gospel at what the disciples were doing before then, actually they weren't praying. They were arguing about who was the greatest. They were telling other people off who weren't with them for casting out demons. They weren't flowing in that prayer-filled life. You know, Cornelius, in Acts of the Apostles, Cornelius got all his prayers answered in one day. His whole family was saved in one day. His whole household was saved. They were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. He had revival. He'd been praying for a while. And when the angel turned up, the angel said something interesting. He said to Cornelius, Cornelius, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up before God as a memorial offering. It's like, right, it's going to all get cashed in now, buddy. You've been praying and seeing nothing. Your family are unsaved, but I'm praying for them. Yeah, but he's seen nothing. Yeah, but he's praying and he's giving to the poor and he's praying and he's giving to the poor. And one day, God says, oh, no more of that. Come on, bang. One day, his whole household saved. Everyone's baptized in the Holy Spirit. Revival in his house. Is that how it's going to be for you? It is if you pray. So God says, look, I've taken hold of you. I have help for you. Get it then. Receive it then. Take it. Everything you need is in his hands. Go get it. It's for the asking. It's just for the asking. And then he says, lastly, and then we'll pray now. You know, I will uphold you. That hand that takes hold of you actually holds you up when you can't hold yourself up. Is that good news? When there comes points in your life where you can't take another step forward, but that hand's strong. And you can stumble, fall, you can do lots of things. He isn't going to let go. You can get weary to the point of, you know, needing carrying. He'll carry you. He says that actually in Isaiah. He says, look, I've made you. He said, to your old age and grey hairs, I will sustain you. He said, look, I made you. I will bear you. I will carry you. And I'll save you. Is that good news? That strengthens you, doesn't it? I'll carry you all the way through your whole life. I remember being at this funeral once, and I saw all these sons carrying their dad. You know, the dad was dead and all the sons were carrying him. Big, strong sons carrying him, and some of them were crying, carrying him, and it was like, oh! It hit me just like a revelation. You know, we've got a big family. I've got a few sons. I thought, yeah, one day they're going to carry me. I need to go on a diet. No. One day they're going to carry me. And I thought, oh yeah, isn't that exactly how life works? All their life I've carried them. I always carry my kids on my shoulders. When our Benji's just got to the point now where he says, no, I'll walk. Oh, okay. But for like the last 20 years, I've been carrying kids on my shoulders everywhere. Tesco, to school, on walks, hikes. I just got used to having people on my shoulders. I've always got one kid to go on there. I carry them, carry them, carry them, carry them. But there comes a point where I can carry them no more. And I get weaker and weaker and weaker. And then they carry me. You know, God says this. I will carry you. They'll only carry me there. God will carry me up, resurrect me. And you. God will wake you up in the morning. Come on. Time to get up. Morning. Good morning. What a morning that'll be, eh? Let's stand. Come to the front if you want to receive the Father's love and some prophecy. We're going to pray, hear the Lord for you. There's all our beautiful children out there. You might need to get them as well at some point, but we can. There's no rush. You can come back and get prayer as well. Just take one step forward so we can get more people. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's open our hands, reach out to the Lord. The Father loves you. If you've sinned this week, he loves you. If you've fallen, he loves you. If you're tired and weary, if you're brokenhearted, he absolutely loves you. And he's desperate to communicate that love to you right now, by his Holy Spirit. The Father loves us. Happy Father's Day. Receive his love now from heaven. Come, Holy Spirit. We open our hearts to you, Lord, and we ask you to put that mighty hand on us now. Touch us, Lord, right where we need it. Put your hand in our hand. Touch hearts, touch heads with affection, with approval. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Reach out to him. Receive his love. If you're coming back to him today, he's throwing his arms around you, kissing you all over, loving you, loving you. Like the only Father that could ever do it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Let him carry you. Let him carry you. Let go of everything else. Let him carry you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's no condemnation for any of you. None. Because this Father gave his only real Son so that you could be adopted and forgiven over and over and over again. Never will he leave you. Never will he forsake you.